Hello, and welcome to This Working Life. I'm Lisa Leong, and this is a special bonus episode of Try This on how to manage psychosocial safety at work. Regulation around managing psychosocial hazards at work is in place in almost all of Australia now, and that means organisations have a legislated responsibility to take care of it. If you're an employee or a leader or an HR professional, this episode is for you. We're going to get practical. Dr. Laura Kirby is Chief Psychologist at Australian Psychological Services, and she was also Chief Mental Health Officer at Commonwealth Bank as well. She helps organisations with this. Hello, Laura.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What are you seeing in your work in this space, Laura?
There is a lot of activity in this space, which is great. I think that's one of the benefits of, you know, having this come into legislation, although I personally have been working in this space for close to two decades. So it's definitely not a new concept, but I think in making it practical for workplaces, there's still a lot of room to grow and increasing maturity with different organisations.
Have you noticed any changes? I know it's early days, but have you noticed any changes yet?
Look, absolutely. I think there are definitely some organisations who are well along that maturity curve and have really embedded some great practices to support people's mental health and ensure that their work is designed in a way that's protective of people's psychological health and safety. So we're definitely seeing some movement in terms of much more practical action within workplaces.
And when you're explaining this to people, I'd love to hear your practical definition of what a psychosocial hazard is.
Essentially, psychosocial hazards are any workplace factor that could cause psychological harm to its people. Now, that being said, across each of the regulations, there's about 14 to 16 different hazards that that captures. So if I wanted to sort of draw that back a little bit, we could really kind of bucket those into three or four categories: work demands, work design and management, work environment, and social interactions and behaviours that people experience at work.
And for you, what are the biggest levers in each of those buckets then?
One of the realities of protecting psychosocial safety and managing psychosocial hazards is that each of those hazards and buckets are likely to interact together. I find that one of the most helpful ways to think about this is like having an old school scale. On one hand of the scale, you've got psychosocial demands. On the other hand of the scale, you've got what we call psychosocial resources. As much as possible, we want to try and reduce the psychosocial demands to a reasonable degree and maximize and enhance people's experience of psychosocial resources at work, which means things like good clarity, good support, good resources, good change management, adjust a system that's working well. So when we talk about resources, we're talking about actually how we design and manage work in that way.
And what are some examples of the demands?
Demands is a really interesting one. I think we hear a lot about work overload in the context of high volume of demands, tight deadlines and turnaround of expectations. Increasingly, though, I think with some of the changes that we're seeing, particularly from a technology point of view, we're certainly seeing things around work intensification, where people are working on far more complex activities and complex tasks, which adds to that sense of load without necessarily adding to the volume. So there are probably some themes I'm seeing around the work demands, which is definitely one of the more consistent ones that we hear about.
I hear that organisational psychologists have been kept busy trying to translate this all for clients. So how do you approach this?
Knowing the literature and the theory behind this is one thing. It's how do you translate that into practical, reasonable actions within workplaces? And really the best way to do that is to work very closely with people who are actually doing the work. So we spend a lot of time working with HR and health and safety professionals, as well as frontline leaders, as well as frontline staff, to tell us a little bit about what parts of work are good, what parts of work are not so good and are kind of barriers to people experiencing well-being in their work, and what are some of the things that we can do better or differently to support a better experience of work.
What are some of the most commonly experienced psychosocial hazards then?
It can vary across industry. I think for some time now, we've definitely seen an over-prevalence of things like occupational violence and aggression, and thinking about our retail colleagues and people working in customer service and client environments. One that's particularly interesting, and I think we're getting much better at managing more proactively is where people are exposed to potentially traumatic events or materials in the work that they perform, either directly or indirectly. So putting in better measures to ensure that people minimize the risk of being traumatized through the work that they perform. We're spending a lot of time talking about improving people's respectful behaviors in the workplace, with a lot of the spotlight being on positive duty and managing and preventing workplace sexual harassment.
And I hear that there's a duty to take reasonable care for your own psychological health and safety and to not adversely affect others' health and safety. Can you elaborate on this?
This has always been part of our health and safety obligations as individuals in workplaces, and that is to protect our own physical health and safety as well as psychological health and safety. I think there is a tendency to kind of put the onus back on senior leaders and leaders within a workplace because they do control more of the work design and how we manage our work. But that being said, every single individual that turns up to work in whatever shape that looks like have a responsibility to ensure that they are supporting the health and safety of the others that they work with as well as themselves. Now, that can mean things like reporting concerns when they notice hazards in the workplace, be they physical or psychosocial, being mindful of how we interact with other people in the workplace and focusing on how we provide part of the support of that structure and create a positive and respectful workplace environment that people participate in. And I also think that it's really helpful that across both of those two things, when we raise concerns and also think about how we turn up at work, as individuals, we've often got really good ideas about how we can make work better. Now, we can do that at the individual level through sort of crafting our own roles, but we can also can contribute to the broader workplace environment about how do we improve work? What would some of the solutions look like to enhance people's experience of work?
And what happens when psychosocial hazards aren't managed well?
There's a lot of research here that points to a lot of cost factors. For individuals, obviously, it means that they're likely to experience some sort of mental health harm. We don't really want anyone in that situation. But from an organizational perspective, it means that people are experiencing time away from work. It means that we lose productivity. It means that we're more likely to be paying for workers' compensation claims or injury claims. I think the bit that we often forget about, though, is the reverse of this, is that the missed opportunity for when we invest in psychosocial safety, it means that we're driving performance culture. It means that we're driving positive talent attraction and retention. We're having teams that are more engaged and more likely to perform discretionary effort. So I think there's some of those kind of carrot ideas that we are missing out on by only translating this in terms of harm by not doing the right thing.
I want you to listen to this. So this is Paul, who has a business platform that helps manage psychosocial hazards. Here's what he's seeing.
The data we capture shows where risks are building and whether the business is in a state of readiness for those hazards before they become visible. But here's the trap I've seen. Some organisations think just buying a solution means the problem is solved. It only works if leaders promote it, encourage it, and make it part of everyday life. It's a bit like the early 2000s when physical safety began to be taken more seriously. It's no good just buying a bunch of high-vis gear and PPE equipment and leaving it hanging on the back of the door. Many organisations see it as a box-ticking exercise, where the reality is, aside from the compliance lens, it actually makes good business sense to look after your people, both ethically and financially. So my question is, do you think businesses are really taking this seriously enough?
Laura.
I totally agree with a lot of the sentiments that Paul shared there, in particular that it makes good business sense to invest in this. I also agree that where we bring on systems to tick the box, it's insufficient. It doesn't help us actually manage the hazards that people are experiencing at work. The really big piece of this puzzle is, as an employer, as an organization, we have to be really clear on what are the controls that we have in place to manage those hazards. What are the existing controls that we have? Are they working? And if we need additional controls, what would that look like? And how do we continue to monitor that over time? It's really interesting, that comparison of early sort of safety practices and roll out the high-vis and the PPE. We've seen that equivalent in the psychosocial safety space for decades, where we've embedded what's traditionally been known as the yoga and fruit box approach, more recently maybe the mindfulness and the resilience training approach. all of those systems, I'm not saying are a bad idea. What I'm saying is they are targeting things at the individual level. If we really want to get serious with this and we want our systems to be psychosocially safe, we have to address it at the system level, tackle it where it's problematic. So getting to those root cause factors, like those psychosocial demands, like those psychosocial resources, to fundamentally change and improve the way that we do work in order to mitigate the risk.
In Try This, we ask our experts to recommend tips that you can try in your working life. What would you say to HR managers and leaders who are charged with managing psychosocial hazards?
HR managers and leaders have to be really familiar with the workplace environment where work is working well, where it's an experience of good work, and where work is no longer working. And a big piece of this is, particularly for leaders, consulting with their team members to understand what does that look like and get their ideas for how do we make it better. You cannot get past the value of consulting with team members to understand their experience of work and put in some of those constructive and proactive strategies to improve the way in which we're managing and designing work. And this is where I think the support of HR leaders around work design, and again, thinking back to our balance of psychosocial demands, reducing or minimizing the impact, negative impact of those as much as possible, and enhancing those psychosocial resources.
Laura, what are a couple of questions that we might ask this week then if we wanted to do this with our team members?
I would start with the what's working well? What are the best bits of work? What gets you out of bed? What are your strengths? What are your motivations? What's working? The second part is where is it no longer working well? And what do we do differently?
And what would you say to individual employees and workers? What can we do this week?
Look, I think for individual workers and employees, it's helpful to be familiar with what do we mean by psychosocial safety? What does that involve? And in knowing what that involves, I come back to, if you think it's not working, take that chance to speak up, raise those concerns, and also give conscious thought to how do we show up at work? We're all part of the system of creating a psychosocially safe environment. And as individuals, we play really important roles in how we contribute to that. So how we show up and interact with one another and think about how we support ourselves and our peers in the work that we do is a really important principle of having a psychosocially safe workplace.
Thanks so much, Laura.
Thank you.
That's organisational psychologist Laura Kirby. And check out our companion episode where we talk about policy and legislation in this area. It's called What Are We Getting Wrong About Psychosocial Safety at Work? It's on the ABC Listen app. It features psychological safety pioneer Professor Amy Edmondson from Harvard Business School and Rachel Potter, research lead specialising in psychosocial factors and workplace safety at the University of South Australia. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast and share it with a friend or a colleague. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, work it with care and kindness.